Once again, Merry Christmas. A special welcome to our guests. I know there's many people who are from out of town or family, friends who have come to visit, and so we will welcome you this day, this great celebration of Christ's birth. Looking back over the year, it's been a challenging year in many ways. Natural disasters, continued war and terrorism, our own personal struggles, I'm sure, and of course, the renewed scandals in the church. This, coupled with all the attempts being made to cut religion down or make it seem irrelevant in our lives, can make us ask the question, what do we have faith in? What is our faith? You know, if the church is a mere human institution, if it is simply us alone, it would be safe to say, I would say, that we are on the Titanic, and it's time to get in the lifeboats. Or perhaps another route we might look at saving the ship is to remake it according to a model that works in this world. Give it a new, clean, and techy look, maybe update it. Update those old dry doctrines and traditions. Then maybe we can save it. And yet I would say that neither of these are true solutions. These are human solutions. What we come up with when we find the world crumbling around us. We devise a program or a philosophy to fix these problems. What does God do? God sends himself in the form of a little child. What continues to confound the secular world is that this church which Christ established continues on through the centuries, seemingly indifferent to the fact that it should not exist anymore. Christ came as a weak and a poor child. This is how God has chosen to come among us. It's never been about worldly power or recognition. In fact, the more the church loses her worldliness, her ability to wield earthly authority and power, the more she is accepted for her true self. That is, the group of people who come to know Jesus, who follow him and live in relationship with him, and who worship him in spirit and truth. It is then that Christ can be authentically made known. Christ, who came among us with humble origins, a child who was not raised to some noble earthly throne, but a child who was destined to die an inglorious death on a cross. All along the entire history of the Jewish faith, God constantly has called individuals who are humble, who are simple, and he uses these weak and often flawed characters to do his work. We remember, once again, Jesus, the Son of God, comes into this world. We see that he is constantly being challenged and rejected because of his humble origins, because he was a carpenter's son, because he was from Nazareth. You know, this definitely isn't a script that seems to promote success. It would be a whole lot easier to recognize the Christ child if he would have been born to a wealthy family, a powerful family, if he would have had priestly and Pharisaical schooling and authority. But Jesus has none of these things. It's as if God welcomes this opportunity to be accepted on his own terms, not for any earthly power that he offers, not for some political or social connection that can be had, but merely as he is found to be, a mystery man who claims God as his father, who wills to live a simple life, and who gathers a ragtag band of followers around him. He doesn't look for wealthy patrons, nor does he seek to align himself with kings and powerful emperors. He lives a quiet, almost completely hidden life before a short public ministry in which he speaks about the kingdom of God, which is found not by the rich, but by the poor. It's found by the meek, by those who mourn, by those who are pure of heart, those who make peace. It's found by those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Now often we see in the scriptures Jesus' disciples and followers wanting him to become that earthly king. And if I'm honest with myself, I would say that if there are times that I too have desired Christ's church to become an earthly kingdom, which has influence and authority, which is respected and wields money and power. Of course, in my mind, All of these things would be used for good, for the work of building up the kingdom. But we see how often the message gets distorted when we have all those things. We begin to try to protect the institution for its own sake, rather than simply clinging to Christ and carrying on his work. And so it seems Christ is once again calling us back to the origins, to be poor, to be humble, to be considered simple, ignorant, unrefined, and even, may I dare say, uncouth. Sophisticated, trendy, popular, modern, fashionable, hip, stylish, these are not words that are normally associated with the Catholic Church. Despite this reality, God continues to work through his body, Christ's body, the Church, to call souls to testify to the hope that is found in living as Christians. That is a hope found in being his followers. Come follow me, he says, and I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me, and I will live in you. Come follow me, that my joy may be in you, and it may be complete. Come follow me, for you are my friends, if you do what I command you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you may go and bear fruit. So as we come once again to this great solemnity of Christmas, where we celebrate the Incarnation, God becoming one of us, it is a reminder that Christ came from humble origins. He is most readily available to us if we too are in a way on his level, with no pretensions. No pretensions for worldly grandeur. The first people who came to give him homage were the lowly shepherds. May we follow in their steps. If God is allowing the Church to be humbled in the sight of the world, we shouldn't be disheartened. We are merely being prepared to carry out his work ever again and ever anew. Instead of an earthly or man-made project, the greatest treasures of the Church are not the bricks and mortar. Rather, it is the souls of the saints, those who are united to Christ, those who have come to recognize Christ and have accepted him for who he is on his own terms. For it is these souls which shall stand and endure in eternity and forever with God, give him glory. So once again, we too are invited, my dear brothers and sisters, to come and adore the Lord, who comes to us so simply, so humbly. In this Eucharistic feast and through the sacraments, he continues to manifest himself. May our eyes be opened, and may our hearts seek him. Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.